You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Welcome to the program. Already in progress, final hour, St. Patrick's Day. Happy Dan Patrick's Day as well. 3,600 of you have so far entered the Celebrity Bracket Challenge, and it's real easy to do. Doesn't cost you anything. You play for pride. You wait for the DP Show newsletter. Comes out, and you subscribe there. Give us your email address. We send you the newsletter, and you can send us your brackets. We got a lot of celebrities who have joined here the last 24 hours. Paulie, you got an update on those celebrities in our bracket challenge.
Yeah, we got like J.J. Watt, Will Ferrell. Let's see. Peter King is in.
Peter King, Ohio U grad.
Is that right?
Yes, a Bobcat.
Brooklyn Decker back.
Yeah. Oh, Brooklyn Decker. She always takes North Carolina.
A lot of people like Ohio over Virginia, by the way, because Virginia's got the COVID issues.
Jim Parsons, he's from Houston, isn't he?
Yes.
Houston's a good team.
Yes, he'll have Houston probably going all the way. Clayton Kershaw, the Dodgers involved in this this year.
Did you know he went to high school with Matthew Stafford?
No, I didn't know that. Did you see where, when the Rams got Matthew Stafford, is it Michael Brockers? Brockers came out and said, hey, we upgraded at quarterback with the Rams. Guess who got traded to the Detroit Lions to be reunited with Jared Goff? Michael Brockers, I guess, is not going to be with the Rams and Matthew Stafford in that upgrade. So the Celebrity Bracket Challenge. And by the way, if you're watching on Peacock, our TV partner, you'll notice during the commercial breaks, we're bringing you the New Haven County Emerald Society bagpipes and drums. You can find the full performance on our website and social media channels. It was great to see the guys come by and able to bring back a performance from those guys. We've touched on a variety of things today, some college basketball. We touched on Russell Wilson with what's going on in his situation. Is there a situation that is going to be getting heating up or cooling off? Not sure. I did hear from a source last hour who said that from what this person found out, the Bears offered 3 first-round picks, a 3rd-round pick, and 2 starters. Didn't say if it was offense, defense, no names involved. I did ask the person who's close to the situation with the Bears, did not know. And you don't want those names to get out, and I understand that. You know, if you're some of the names have been mentioned, Khalil Mack or Akeem Hicks. I don't know who's involved in it. I just wanted to know that the Bears did everything they possibly could do to land Russell Wilson. And that, so my source said this is what they're offering. And their feeling was that the GM, John Snyder, would have looked at this and accepted this, but Pete Carroll was not going to do that. And once again, this is kind of fluid conversation here that's just happening because I had somebody reach out to me and say, I have some details if you're interested, and then followed up. Obviously, wanted to find out exactly what their role was in all of this, and that was the information I got last hour. But 3 number ones, a 3rd-round pick, and 2 starters, don't know if it was offense or defense, but that was last hour. Yeah, McClellan.
So if they had accepted this trade, like where would they have gone for quarterback? Because the Bears picked 20, I believe. So not draft.
I don't know, but yeah. I it still came back to that with Seattle. For me, who's your quarterback? The Bears weren't a good match, in my opinion. I never thought they were from the beginning, but they did go all in. They swung for the fences. They missed. They ended up with Andy Dalton. I don't know if somebody else is going to, you know, now you at least know what it's probably going to take to get Russell Wilson. And then if you're a team that's interested, you know, the only other teams are Vegas and the Saints, and the Saints feel like they're settled at quarterback, according to Sean Payton, who joined us yesterday. I guess Vegas has to be included in there as a possibility. I think if anything happens, you got to look at after the draft and what happens in free agency. Does Seattle do anything? What are other teams going to do as far as their quarterbacking situations go? That's what I would keep an eye on, because Russ wants a, you know, improved line. Do they get another wide receiver in there? They get a tight end in there. I don't know. And what do these other teams do in the draft? Does Sam Darnold become available? Does Seattle then change its philosophy on what they want in return if they could trade for Sam Darnold, give up a second-round pick and get Sam Darnold? I don't know. But that's the information I have, and I don't have anything else on that. I don't have anything on Deshaun Watson. The Athletic had an article that said that Carolina's all in on getting Deshaun Watson. That would include the 8th pick overall. Of course it would. But I don't know what else it would. And if Deshaun Watson would want to go back to Carolina. Yeah, Paul.
These trades don't make sense. Like you said last hour, you think that both these guys will stay. Because if you're Russell Wilson and all of a sudden you get the call from your agent that says, hey, you just got traded to Chicago and they gave up two really good defensive starters and a whole bunch of draft picks. Good luck. You know, they're not a super talented team that's going to protect him or give him weapons. And how is that an upgrade in your life from the current situation with the Seahawks?
Unless he feels like I can be involved in decision-making. They all look at what LeBron has done in free agency with, you know, as the NBA and what Tom Brady's done. And Russ is looking at this at age 32 going, if I'm going to be included in the greats of my era, I got to win. And if he feels like that things have stalled there in Seattle, then maybe that's where you ask for a trade. He hasn't asked for a trade. He said, if you are going to trade me, here's where I want to go. I didn't like the list at all. Dallas wasn't happening. Saints, that wasn't happening. The Bears, if I'm Russ, I wouldn't want that to happen, but you put them on the list, and then you have Vegas Raiders. Can you expand that? Is he willing to open up the possibility of going to the Dolphins, going to the Jets? I have no idea, but I do know that the Jets and the Dolphins did inquire. But understand this, Seattle wasn't even returning phone calls with these teams that were on his list. They weren't even returning calls. And then the two GMs met in North Dakota, and I think they were there for Trey Lance's pro day. And I think that's where they had conversations. Okay. But, I mean, This is moving. It's a moving target here. But do I think Russ gets traded? I don't. Do I think Deshaun Watson gets traded? Not right now. Unless the Texans go, we cannot pass on this. And the Bears were reportedly giving Seattle a deal that they could not refuse. Well, they did. Yeah, McLovin.
You know, I was looking at Mac and Akeem Hicks is 31. I thought he just sort of came out of nowhere. So, like, the kind of older defense.
No. Once again, we can't do this.
Yeah. And Allen Robinson.
Paulie was just on a hypothetical. Right. You can't attach names here because then people are going to say, yeah. Hey, I'm listening to Dan Patrick show. I hear it was Akeem Hicks and Khalil Mack. I don't know any of that.
I don't think the offer is that great. And even if it was an Allen Robinson or whatever, like, there's just like the Bears, like you said, aren't an obvious fit with the Seahawks.
Yes, I don't know the players. I just know this is what I was told. Two starters, three draft picks.
Yeah,
that's all. Three first-round picks and a third-round pick.
I've been scouting the Bears really closely for Andy Dalton. We have some issues on the offensive line, by the way. Like everybody has. By the way, is there a team that doesn't have an offensive line issue? Where is everyone going to get these offensive linemen?
Well, the Niners are a whole lot better. They just re-signed Trent Williams.
Yeah, they feel like they're in good shape, but isn't that a rarity now?
Yes, yes. If you don't have your offensive line, I can take a Hall of Fame quarterback and make him look average. Case in point, the Niners in the Super Bowl a year ago with Patrick Mahomes, Tampa this Super Bowl with Patrick Mahomes. Here's the great quarterback, and he was average because they put so much pressure on him. He had one good quarter against San Francisco. That was it. But he had all this pressure on him. If you don't have that offensive line, I mean, we never talk about the offensive line when guys get signed. Like, you know, we just sort of go, oh, they're interchangeable parts. You know, when Aaron Rodgers has time, Aaron Rodgers is spectacular. Aaron Rodgers did not have time against Tampa. Tom Brady had time. Tom Brady ended up being the MVP. Like, there is a correlation here. As great as Lamar Jackson is, or I mean, throw out all of these quarterbacks. You have to have a respectable line. We had Shaq Barrett on yesterday. He said, I knew we were going to win. he knew what that offensive line was and wasn't. They had injuries there, and they took advantage of them. It didn't matter how great. I got Tyreek Hill. I got Kelsey. It didn't matter. If you don't have time, it doesn't matter how much talent. It just doesn't. And that's where Russ is saying, I could be great, but if I don't have time, I'm going to get sacked 48 times again this year. And Mahomes, I'm sure, is saying, look, I'll restructure my deal. Can we get me an offensive line? Which is what he's trying to do. Yeah, Paulie.
And you look at the Chiefs, they decided not to push it with those two injured guys. And they said, we're going to restart on the line. And I think Kyle Long is visiting the Chiefs today.
Yeah.
And, you know, perfect timing for a guy like him. They need people. They got the guy from the Patriots yesterday, and that's the direction they're going.
We don't focus on offensive line. It's not sexy. When you see a mock draft, you don't go, man, the Bengals getting that guy out of Oregon, Penny Sewell. Yeah. Nobody cares. But you should care. It's just everybody goes into the mock draft going, who are we getting? You know, we getting a wide receiver, getting a running back. What do we get? Yeah. Even an impactful defensive player. It's like you just want the skill position, marquee players. Yeah, McClellan.
If the mocks are anywhere near right, there is no defense in this year's draft. Like 12 of the top 14 are offensive players in everyone's mock draft.
Yeah.
Who is the defensive guy anyone's talking about this year? Micah Parsons?
Yeah.
He's a linebacker.
Yeah. Supposed to be top 15 pick.
But is that wishful reporting by the mock drafters? They're like, oh, I'm going to put a wide receiver here, a wide receiver
I don't
there.
Know. I've always wondered that. If I had a mock draft, I would just go, I'm going to put all the marquee players, offensive players, quarterbacks, wide receivers, running backs up here. Oh, I was wrong with my mock draft. How many clicks did I get? So that's the information I have with Russell Wilson Jr. III. Russ hasn't said anything. Have we reached out to Russ?
I've left him alone in recent days, but the time will be coming very
soon. Does he want to get involved in the Celebrity Bracket Challenge?
We did invite him for that. He's got some other fish to fry these days, but we did invite him.
Oh, come on. He went to Wisconsin.
He'd be good at it.
NC State's not in his other school. Yeah, Russ should be in the Celebrity Bracket Challenge. Tell him I won't ask him any questions.
That will help.
That is not true. I will ask him some questions. All right, so Juwan Howard from the Michigan Wolverines will join us coming up on the program. A couple of phone calls. Jesse in L.A. joining us on the program. Hi, Jess. What's on your mind today?
Hey, DB.
Hey, bud.
Happy St. Paddy's Day.
Well, thank you.
Well, I'm calling as a joyous Packers fan because today, or yesterday, the Bears got their quarterback, and it's not Russ, and that pretty much means that barring injury, the Packers will be the division champs next year, but I also wanted to call because I thought that was a great interview with Coach Pitino, which is, you know, that's kind of your standard. But I also believe he's got one more major university stopping him. There's no way he stays at Iona. So when that story breaks and you get him to do another interview, can you have Todd drop his best mock headline ever on him with the Pasta Prematura?
Oh, no. I can't do that. No, we can't, Jess. Thank you, though. Yeah, that was one of Todd's great headlines of all time.
I wouldn't go over too well.
You should have just done a walk-off.
Never done a mock headline ever again after that.
No. That was a great one. I don't know. I'm going to say Pitino stays at Iona. If he leaves, I'm going to blast him. But I'm going to take him at his word. He's been through a lot. He's accomplished a lot. This should be about the joy of just coaching. And if your ego is going to drive you someplace else, then it never stops. And I do understand that there are certain people, even in my profession, where you get to a job and then you start to look at another job. You want to move up. You want to move out. I never wanted to do it. I liked what I did when I got there. But there are coaches who aren't happy unless, you know, they're moving on to another job. And you could ask just about all of them. You should have just stayed there. That's why I applaud Mark Few at Gonzaga. He's had opportunities. If you find happiness, and our definitions are all different. Like, what is happy? I don't know. I don't like the word, but are you content? Are you satisfied? Are you challenged? You know, it used to be coaches stayed. Now the coaches, it's like a coaching, you know, transfer portal. But if you do stay, you're happy there, you're content. Like, you shouldn't be judged because you stayed. Oh, Mark Few stayed at Gonzaga. I mean, Kirk Ferentz stayed at Iowa. If that's your home, if you truly tell people and you believe what you're saying, all these coaches get there and they say, oh, my dream job. Oh, I can think of no other place I'd rather be. And then you realize, yeah, they've been thinking about other places they'd rather be. It's disingenuous. You say all the right things, and nobody really believes you. Yeah, Paulie.
I think about 10 years ago, we did a bit on the air. We suggested there should be a moving company for college and pro coaches where they specialize in like discreet moving of people. You know, like Nick Saban wants to move from Miami to Alabama, but he doesn't want the press getting it. There's a moving company that they quietly go to his house in the middle of the night, grab all the stuff. And the next day when he's wearing red, when he's wearing crimson, he's got the moving company set.
But don't they have, isn't a moving company called College Kids?
Or? Oh, yeah. College Movers, Collegiate Movers.
Yeah, Collegiate Movers. Yeah, it could be moving coaches. College coaches, movers, or something like that. Kurt in Ohio. Hey, Kurt, what's on your mind today?
Hey, what's going on, Dan?
Hi, Kurt.
How you doing, buddy?
I'm great, yeah.
Hey, ironically, as I'm driving up 75 North, Liberty College basketball bus just went right past me here. So I might have to change my bracket, but I keep doing my brackets, and somehow I always end up with the Final Four being Big Ten teams. And I don't know if it's subconscious Midwest bias, being a Buckeye fan, but I keep coming up with Iowa, Ohio State, team up north, and Illinois in the Final Four.
That's all right.
I don't think Gonzaga has played the competition that the Big Ten has played,
Kurt,
so I'm not buying into Gonzaga.
Kurt, you should be focusing on the road, okay?
Well, no, I'm parked now. I'm getting ready to go have beers and wings. I finally got a day off.
All right. Well, good luck with your bracket. Enter the bracket challenge there, Kurt. Thanks for joining us. I had a former coach send me his Final Four. He had Florida State, Ohio State, Illinois in his Final Four. I forget the other one, but it kind of surprised me a little bit there. But, I mean, Illinois didn't. Florida State, a little bit. And, Ohio State, they took Illinois, into overtime there, the Big Ten tourney before they lost. I got to figure out the other one that he sent me. Because I thought, you know what, maybe I just take that Final Four. I'm good with that. I hate filling out the bracket. You know what I did last year? I had Mario fill out my bracket last year. And I think I finished second. But maybe 2 years ago. Not last year, obviously. But I don't want to know who I picked because I just love watching the games. And, when there's something attached to it, it's like when I used to gamble. I never watched a game that I gambled on. Because guys usually do the opposite, where you got this Carolina's playing Cleveland. I could put a dime on it. I couldn't do it. I could put a dime on it, but I couldn't watch the game. Drive me crazy. And even this, I don't have anything other than pride or reputation. I hate picking games. It drives me crazy when I pick my Super Bowl teams. Yes, Fritzy.
But that wasn't exciting when Greg Gumbel would say, let's go out to the West region where there's a big upset in the making for the let's take you out to the final minute and a half. And that's one of the upsets you picked in a 13-4 or something.
Oh, I'm okay with that, but it's still...
When you know who you picked and you're rooting up for that underdog to hold on.
Yeah, it's I don't get any enjoyment out of that. I'd rather not know. I just said to Mario, I don't care if I finish last. At least I can enjoy the tournament. I'll probably have him do it again this year. And then I'll be an expert. If I do well, then I'll go, how am I doing in the bracket challenge there? Yeah, McLevin.
Yeah, I've found this a completely miserable process, filling out my bracket.
It is. It is. Because I just want to watch the games. I just love watching the games. I don't need to have my predictions out there. All right, 20 after the hour, Juwan Howard. I think I got to say that I got Michigan going a long way, right? I got Juwan Howard coming up.
That would help.
Yeah. But I say that I had Iona going a long way, too, when Coach Pitino was on with us. Take a break here. 21 after the hour. This is the Dan Patrick Show. Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year automatically. It's amazing, right? No limit on how much you can earn. How amazing is that? In fact, it's even more amazing because of all the places where Discover is accepted. 99% of places in the United States that take credit cards take Discover. So when it comes to Discover, get used to hearing the word yes more often. Learn more at discover.com/yes. Discover.com/yes. 2021 Nielsen Report. Limitations apply. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More phone calls coming up. Just went outside. Got the Traegers all fired up. What do we have? Corned beef out there and cabbage?
Soda bread.
Oh, yeah. Looks good. You guys are spoiled. Our training table is pretty good. Get some more phone calls coming up. 877-3DP-SHOW. Our conversation with Juwan Howard brought to you by Capital One. What is in your wallet? The Michigan head coach, Coach Howard, joining us on the program as they hook up with the winner of Mount St. Mary's and Texas Southern. That'll be Saturday at 3 Eastern. Coach, I know you're from Chicago. Do you care about the Chicago Bears quarterbacking situation now that Andy Dalton is there and you missed out on Russell Wilson?
Hey, what's up, Dan? First of all, I want to say thank you for inviting me on your show. To answer your question, yes, I do care about the Chicago Bears and what's happening with our quarterback situation. I'm the biggest Bears fan there is, and I'm following it closely. No offense to the quarterbacks that are there under contract, but the Russell Wilson situation sounds very, very interesting.
Now you got Andy Dalton instead of Russell Wilson. When are you guys going to get a quarter? You think you get a good quarterback in your lifetime, Juwan?
Well, we have a good quarterback. You know, Mitch is a good quarterback. Andy Dalton's a good quarterback. Nick Foles is a good quarterback. Nick Foles is a Super Bowl quarterback.
I'm talking about a Hall of Fame quarterback.
Hall of Fame quarterback? That's still to be, determined. Russell, like I said, it sounds interesting. He's truly looking at a Hall of Fame, Canton, Ohio appearance.
Do you practice at all with your team?
No, I don't practice. I don't play basketball, man. I let that go.
When's the last time you played? When's the last time you played?
I would say maybe 4 years ago when I was an assistant with the Miami Heat, and it was a summertime. And Hassan Whiteside was the only big, and we didn't have anyone to guard him, and we only had seven guys. So just all hands on deck, do whatever we can to help Hassan get a good workout. I played 4-on-4 with the guys, and I guarded Hassan Whiteside. Now, no offense to Hassan, and he may tell you a different story, but our team won, and I had a huge impact on the game. Huge.
Do you remember your stats from that game? You probably do, don't you?
Yeah, you always remember your last game stats.
Do you remember your welcome to the NBA moment?
Yes, I do. I remember my first shot it got blocked by Dino Roger. I was going to a bag down crab dribble, and I'm getting ready to go into my move, and Dino Rogers just sat on it. And I turned to give him a shoulder fake and try to raise and shoot it, and he blocked the shot. And I was like, wow. Welcome to the NBA, young fella.
Yeah, but Dino couldn't jump, though, Juwan.
And Juwan couldn't jump either. I make two of us.
What do your kids say when they see you play? Any of the highlights?
Well, they do say, like, okay, Dad, well, you was a bucket getter. Okay, you had a little talent. You had some skill. They they didn't get a chance to really watch me play until the end of my career. So they do not quite know the impact that I had on the NBA or in college. And, you know, luckily that there's some folks out there that are still saving some video where they're able to see it, because back then we had VCRs.
but the Fab Five gives you immortality, Juwan.
It helps. It helps. The Fab Five documentary helped a little bit, too. It gave me a little street cred.
How close was the Fab Five to not happening?
Very close.
Because you were kind of recruiting everybody, weren't you?
Correct. You know, if you go back to my senior year in high school, and no, actually go back further than that, my junior year in high school, and Illinois was the front runner. And the University of Illinois at that time was Coach Lou Olson. And I used to always, every summer, go to team camp at the University of Illinois. And Jimmy Collins was the lead recruiter. So Illinois got into a situation with Bruce Pearl, who was an assistant with Iowa.
Yeah.
And there was a tape conversation with Deion Thomas, a recruit out of Chicago, Illinois area. And that situation sort of put a little damper on the plans for me to attend Illinois, because my senior year, I was waiting to see what happened with the NCAA and Illinois, if they were going to get any type of, you know, violations or whatever. And in November was the time that I was going to commit. And Michigan moved into being a front runner. And then when I recruited to the, well, when I committed to the University of Michigan, I started to recruit other players like Jimmy King. And I also started to recruit Chris Webber extremely hard. And I can't take credit for Ray Jackson. He was already committed to the University of Michigan. But I can truly take credit for Jimmy and Chris. And Chris did a lot of recruiting with Jalen.
And then, well, Chris was looking at Duke, wasn't he?
Chris was looking at Duke and Michigan State.
Oh, well, you know, Izzo said that that's the recruit that made him cry. Like, he lost Weber, and he said that's the one that hurt him. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, now you know, as a coach, where you're recruiting and somebody can break your heart.
Yeah, but I haven't cried yet.
It's early, though.
The key word, I said yet.
If I told you 3 years ago your team would be a number one seed, you'd be coaching Michigan, be a number one seed, what would you have said?
Well, I would say, Dan, we got a lot of work to do. You know, you got to take one game at a time.
But you had a hard time. You wanted to coach in the NBA. You and Patrick Ewing, you were kind of hoping to get a head coaching job. And then
that was the goal. As I was as an assistant with the Heat, the goal was developing, and which Eric Spoelstra did, and, you know, Pat Riley, David Fizdale, Keith Smart, Dan Craig, Chris Quinn, all those guys I was learning from, and they were helping me to develop to become a head coach someday. And give a lot of credit to Spo. He really was grooming me to someday be a head coach in the NBA. And that time, it was like the last 2 years before I took the Michigan job. You know, I went on interviews to interview for head jobs with the NBA team. But I was always asked the question from family and friends, if I ever wanted to coach college, would I? And my answer was always Michigan. If that job ever came available, that's the only school I would coach. Now, you know, it's a dream job. My dream came true.
Still have a goal to coach in the NBA?
I never even thought about that. That's the past now.
Really?
I'm so locked in to Michigan.
Good.
I love this place. I'm enjoying my experience. I'm growing each and every day, growing with my staff to become a better coach.
I tune in to the game against Maryland, and that's when the bench is cleared. I had no idea what happened there. Didn't know until a few minutes after there. Have you watched that video of what happened?
Oh, yeah. I watched the video because I actually wanted to watch it right after I addressed the team, apologized to the team, and I wanted to go back and see, like, how it all happened. And I knew how it happened, but
it's like an out-of-body experience.
Yeah, I mean, I was totally stunned, and I was also disappointed in how I reacted, because as the leader of this team,
And I felt that I should have did a better job of controlling my emotions.
Well, as you said, look, it's take your notes. It's in the past. I don't want to talk about this anymore with, you know, your conversation with Coach Turgeon. But, you know, your team rallies around you, too, which is the most important part because they pick you up. And, you know, same thing with Patrick Ewing. I mean, his team picked him up. You know, they went 4 in a row in the Big East. Have you talked to Ewing this year?
Yeah, I reached out to him right away when I saw that they won the Big East championship, which is very hard to do in a tough conference. And, you know, there were a lot of, you know, I would say these experts, you know, picking Ewing team to really fall out or not even make it that far. And Coach stepped up and his team, like you said, they rallied behind him. He prepared them and they went out and competed. And they competed every game, and I'm so happy for him. So I hit him up right away, and he hit me right back. Because, you know, I don't know if you noticed or not, Dan, I played for Pat. He was an assistant coach with the Houston Rockets when Jeff Van Gundy was our head coach. And we had a staff of Thibodeau, also Steve Clifford, and Pat, which was a hell of a staff, all head coaches. And Jeff Van Gundy was the head coach. And Pat and I have a great relationship.
What if I said that coaches have to play in the NCAA tournament? So you got to eat. Every team's coach has to play like 5 minutes. Like how would Michigan do against some of the other teams that you might be facing?
Well, I know we're on radio, and I have to be very careful with my words. But this is the competitor speaking here. I would just put it like this: we're not losing. We're not losing. And I have a lot of trust and belief in myself. And I still train. I still work out, but it's never basketball shape. But we're for competitors only. Anytime there's any coach that want to lace it up and play one-on-one. And I know Stackhouse, I know he's listening. You know, he's probably the only one that I think that will give me a little bit of competition because I know he's in great shape. He plays pretty much every day.
You're not worried about Bryce Drew?
Stop. Stop.
Mark Few, you're not worried about
too little.
What about Ewing?
Too slow. That's my guy, man.
That's good. Do your players ask you about your Michael Jordan moment? Do they have they asked you about that? And what is your Michael Jordan moment?
Yeah, I've gotten a question just about a month ago after practice. Terrence Williams Jr. asked me a Michael Jordan question about the time playing in the Dome when Jordan was filming the movie Space Jam. And they saw some footage where I was playing and we were playing shirts and skins. And they asked, about my relationship with Michael. And I talked about the brotherhood that we both share and how much I've learned from him. In his work ethic and watching while Michael was shooting a movie, he still was training for NBA season. Talked about how we played that night, every night, 5 days a week, pickup versus some high-level talents and NBA ball players, all-stars, Hall of Famers, you name it. That's all I gave him. You know, all the other stuff, man, I can't give him, man. You know, I'm from Chicago. You know, there's this famous word that they say, snitches get stitches.
But yeah, everybody has that moment where you go, oh, man, I'm guarding Jordan or Jordan, you know, he's going to say something to him. Like everybody had a Larry Bird moment that, you know, Bird would say something to people. But did you have that moment with Jordan where you probably were in the wrong place at the wrong time?
Well, I recall the time when MJ was the president of the Washington Wizards. And I was a player on the Washington Wizards and he practiced one day with us. He's done it more than once. But the first practice, I didn't know he was going to really practice. And, you know, he got out there and he still had an impact on the game, very effective out there. And he was talking some trash, doing the typical Michael thing. And he reminded us that he had beat us in the playoffs and swept us. I thought that was, he hit below the belt. Michael knows how to hit below the belt. He knows how to push the right buttons.
Wait, was that the LeBradford Smith game?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, that was later.
That
was the first round when it was the Bulls championship team. They won it that year. And on my team, it was myself, Weber, George Mirasan, Rod Strickland, and Cal Bercheny.
Respectable five.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We were a young group. We were very young.
C. Webb tells great stories about Jordan. He said that they showed up at the Chicago Stadium and Mike's sitting you guys got off the bus?
Like I said, man, snitches get stitches, man. Some stories you just can't tell, man. Gotta let it go.
Come on. Come on.
No, I'm not telling that story. Nope.
Mike's smoking a cigar, sitting on a Lamborghini, and then he's like, you know, who's going to guard me tonight? With some language attached to that, right?
Hey, I'll let Webb tell you that.
Hey, congrats on the season so far. A lot of fun. And I know you're not fully assembled there with your lineup, but good luck in the tournament.
Hey, Dan, I appreciate it, man. I see that cool shirt you have. So when you have time, you can just send me one of those T-shirts. Happy St. Patty's Day.
That's Happy Dan Patrick's Day.
That's dope.
Yeah. I'll send one out to you.
No doubt.
Double X. Happy Dan Patrick's Day. Good luck in the tournament. Thank you, Juwan. Great to talk to you.
Thank you always, man. Stay safe.
All right. Juwan Howard. We'll take a break back after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. Man. That's some good food we have out there. Got a little fire going. Got a little cabbage, some carrots, potatoes, corned beef. All we need is a beer. Like, I could have a beer. I think we have either Blue Moon or Coors Light on tap. Hey, that'd be pretty good. If it was only snowing, we could have snow beers, but St. Patty's Day beers. Yeah, see.
Sure, it's sounding like 12-15 beers.
Mm.
Just saying.
I could go for that. Nice and cold. I could have a cigar. It'd be nice. I don't go all in. I don't go deep on St. Patty's Day. I let everybody else do it. Don't go to the bar and do anything crazy. Been a long time. I know Paulie got beat up on St. Patty's Day one year.
A couple times, I think.
Oh.
My good one was in New York City. I was in my cups, as they say, and I was playing pool against some New York City firemen who were large gentlemen. And I'm not very great at pool, but sometimes you get a little loose, you get a couple beers in you, you play better than you normally would. I hit about four balls in a row and on these firemen, and we were playing for like $5 a game, really light. And I took the rack and put it around the fireman's head and said, "Rack 'em." And he punched me right in the face and dropped me like a bad habit. And I completely deserved it.
The food that we got today is from our good friend Lou at Hub and Spoke in Fairfield. And he's been a wonderful friend of the show. I always call it Spoke and Wheel, but he doesn't even correct me anymore. But it's Hub and Spoke, and he's been a great friend to the show for a long time. This day in sports history, Paulie, what do you have for me?
This is a classic. 2005, several Major League Baseball players spoke out about steroid use with the House Government Reform Committee. Hmm. Mark McGuire, Jose Canseco,
Sammy Sosa,
Jose Canseco, and Rafael Palmeiro participated. The hearing lasted 11 hours.
Hmm.
What a weekend.
How did that go? Yeah. How did that go?
Cleared up everything.
By the way, Juwan Howard's interview brought to you by Capital One. What is in your wallet? Final results of the poll question, McLovin?
We actually switched up the poll. Who is most likely to be a Pro Bowler next year, with the choices being Jameis Winston, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Carson Wentz, or Andy Dalton? Carson Wentz wins.
How about we save that for tomorrow?
Sure.
Yeah, it's kind of spicy. Juwan Howard is the fourth coach all-time whose NCAA tournament coaching debut will come as a number one seed. The last time it happened, 1998, Bill Guthridge from North Carolina. Wait, I wasn't finished with that. Bill Guthridge from North Carolina in 1998.
Stat of the day, stat of the day. Here comes that what? Stat of the day.
Nate in Montana joining us. Hi, Nate. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Dan. First time, long time. Just calling to wish my brother Joe in Montana a happy birthday. We've all been a big fan of the show. Love the show.
Well, Nate, so. Nate, why didn't you just call your brother?
I called him and I sent him a card, but it would be such an honor to hear his name on the show. I think he really got a kick out of it, Dan.
Like, I have three brothers. I have a brother whose birthday is coming up later on this month, but I'm not going to call you, Nate. I mean, I'm... Okay.
Well, I'm not Dan Patrick.
Well, I know, but... Like, I would just... I'm going to let it go this time, Nate, but that's it, okay?
Oh, okay.
Next year, call your brother.
All right, Daniel.
Thank you, Nate. That's Nate in Montana.
And he's a first-time caller. What an experience. What a special day for that young man.
Yeah. I'm not going to call you, Nate.
Yeah, my brother's birthday. Call him.
Yeah, call your brother then. What are you calling me for?
He probably lives a couple towns over. Go visit him.
Oh, man, that's funny.
Have a beer. Ryan in Honolulu. Oh, no. Hey, Ryan.
Hello. Danny boy.
Hi, bud.
Top of the morning to you.
All right, give me a couple. What are your mock headlines?
I got a wee bit of St. Patty's Day names for you.
Okay.
NFL running back, Adrian Potaterson.
The delivery.
Steelers QB, Ben Guinness Chugger.
No, that's something.
This one's for Paulie. Mitchell Troop Whiskey.
Okay. Get out. Get out.
ESPN's Corned Beef Heiser.
Tony Corned Beef Heiser. Okay.
Mike Golick and Mikey Greenbeer.
Golick and Greeny. Okay. Give me one more, Ryan.
LaVar's fourth son, he plays in Ireland. Leprechaun Ball.
Thank you. Thank you, Ryan. Fritzy, any response to Ryan in Honolulu?
I wish I didn't hear that.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good adjustment.
I could go with Neil O'Donnell or Gaston Green, but those aren't anything special.
Yeah, but he gives you a joke attached to it. Anybody can go Gaston Green.
If I said any of those, especially the first couple he dropped, I would have got crushed. We all know that.
Yeah, but you get crushed anyway.
I do get crushed anyway.
Why don't you be entertaining when you get crushed?
He does have a very fun, flamboyant delivery.
Yes, he does.
Ryan's delivery does seem to be better.
Yes. Sorry.
No offense.
Yeah, it's the accent.
And you know what it is? It's the enthusiasm.
But, Todd, why don't you move to Australia for like a year and then come back? And
there
then
you go.
It might be funny.
That might be the way to go.
This program brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Vans. They go far beyond from their customization options. Cutting-edge tech, five-star sales service, financial support crew. Mercedes-Benz Vans are built, equipped, engineered to be ready for anything. Go the extra mile, taking the all-important first step into an authorized dealership today. Happy St. Patty's Day. Happy Dan Patrick's Day. Make sure you sign up for the newsletter, and we'd love to have you in the Bracket Challenge. Be safe today. Talk to you tomorrow. Oh, but wait, there's one more item to discuss before I dive into my St. Patrick's Day feast here. Tournament is finally here. The brackets have been set. Teams are ready to hit the court later this week. DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy, is celebrating their largest free college basketball survivor pool ever. How large? About $1 million in total prizes up for grabs. And when you enter the free DraftKings $1 million survivor pool, you could get a shot at winning $10,000 for every upset through the first two rounds of the tournament. Easy to play. You pick one team per day. If they win, you survive, advance to the next round. Last person standing is your winner. Remember, you can only pick a team once for the entire tournament, so choose wisely. DraftKings, safe, secure app. You can deposit and withdraw your funds at your convenience. Get in on this week's action. Download the DraftKings app now. Enter the promo code Patrick. Sign up. Enter the free $1 million survivor pool. Eligibility restrictions and terms and conditions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Good luck.